Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you. We're doing something pretty fun and unique this week, something that we've never done before. And that's, we're taking a look in the rearview mirror at some of the shows in our past. And this third show that I want to revisit this week is show number 26. And I thought it'd be really fun for Valentine's Day. It originally aired on April the 14th, 2013 on Faith Talk 1360 out of Phoenix, Arizona. My guests were Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, and we discussed their book, How We Love. And believe it or not, sex is actually part of our walk with God. We have a choice, and that choice is to allow God to redeem our mistakes and begin this recovery process from all these different broken places. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss number one, how does my love style affect intimacy with my spouse? And number two, how does my childhood experiences affect my sex life with my spouse? Before we start today's program, I just want to mention here that starting in the middle of March, I'm going to be hosting several online weekly groups for pornography and sex addiction. I'm going to be teaching out of my new book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. There are four classes to choose from, two on Mondays, two on Wednesdays, and each class is limited to 12 people. And because you're a podcast listener, I want to give you a 50% discount on the class itself. And all you have to do is use the coupon code PODCAST. You know, this is the best way to exit the spiral of pornography, and that is to be discipled in biblical, healthy sexuality. That's what this class is. That's what this online group is. And it's a great way to ask your personal questions as well. Once again, jump on the website to learn more, dustindaniels.org. Here's today's show. It's titled, How Do We Love Sexually? Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to saving marriages and protecting our children by bridging this gap between pornography and the church pew. This radio broadcast is devoted to exposing the lie that's in pornography and instead proclaiming God's purity. The purity that is only found in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now purity pastor. For those who truly want help with understanding this intersection of life, of lust, and purity. And by the way, this is not a rated R show. This is a family-friendly show that focuses on the truth with a capital T. The truth of sexual health, sexual education from a biblical foundation. And I'm here to encourage you to have this uncomfortable conversation with your spouse and your kids, and yes, even your church. So last week, I asked you three questions. The first one, have you ever stopped to consider why it is that you do the things that you do? Number two, have you ever paused long enough to ponder why you keep making the same choices that lead to the same mistakes over and over and over again? And the last question has to do with your spouse. Have you ever considered what bothers you most about your spouse is indeed not about you at all, but may be traced to his or her childhood? And today we're going to continue asking those questions. How do we love? And how does my love style affect intimacy with my spouse? You know, let me say it another way to get your attention. That sounded kind of churchy. How does my childhood experiences affect my sex life with my spouse? It's kind of an odd question, isn't it? How did my relationship with mom and dad growing up affect my relationship now with my spouse and my kids and my boss and my neighbors? Does it really matter? Well, let's find out. Today on the show, we have authors and speakers Mylan and Kay Yurkovich to share with us how all of this matters. Mylan and Kay, welcome back to the Dustin Daniels Show.
Thank you, Dustin.
Hi, Dustin.
Mylan, you are a pastoral counselor and co-host of one of my favorite radio shows. It's called New Life Live with Steve Arterburn. Mm-hmm. You're also the founder of Relationship 180, which is a nonprofit ministry helping leaders build healthy relationships. Kay, you've got your master's in counseling, and you've been specializing in successful bonding between couples, parents, and children for over 20 years. And together, you guys have written this amazing book, and it's a workbook as well. It's called How We Love, Discover Your Love Style, and Enhance Your Marriage. And you guys can pick up this book, learn more at howwelove.com. So Mylan and Kay, welcome back to the program. Last week, we talked specifically about your book, How We Love. And this week, let's continue our conversation as we apply these principles to the most intimate parts of our marriage and to our sex life. On your website, howwelove.com, you have an audio download from a live conference that you guys conducted, and it's called How We Love Sexually. You mentioned in this conference that you're going to turn this material into a book. Is that correct?
Eventually.
We have so many things going on. It would be something we'd love to do, and we're hoping to be able to create the time to target that. It's so important, Dustin. Sex is one of those very confusing places, even in the church. It's very separate. Nobody talks about it. You'll never hear anything about it from the pulpit. But literally, sex is one of those defining places of sanctification. I'll either choose as a Christian to let God help sanctify or make that part of my life more holy, or I will not. It's every man's battle, as you mentioned, Steve Arterburn wrote the book, and Fred Stoker. But it is a choice we all must make. Am I going to take that part of my life and make it more pleasurable to God, or am I going to let it drift into the world's view of sex?
And that's a great point, Mylan. Whenever I talk with people, and I kind of explain it this way: if you're having trouble with pornography and sexual sin, it takes a long time to walk that journey out. But at the end of the day, it's not just about that issue in your life. It's about the holiness of God and seeing the pure, not just sexual purity, but the purity in His Son, Jesus. Does that make sense?
Well, it really does. What would you say, Kay, to that?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think, God designed a husband and a wife to experience sexual intimacy, but the precursor to that is supposed to be emotional intimacy. And that is supposed to be learned in your family growing up. You know, a lot of close connection, a lot of touch, someone knowing your inside, giving you words for your feelings and experiences so that you have a level of self-awareness. When you come into adulthood with good emotional connection, sexual intimacy is the next step in marriage. But so many times we don't have those experiences in childhood, and so we are lacking emotional intimacy, and we cannot be naked and not ashamed emotionally, and yet we try and be naked and not ashamed sexually.
Right.
And it doesn't work very well.
In your book, How We Love, and also in the download, How We Love Sexually, you guys identify what you guys call love styles. And there's five of them. We've got the avoider, the pleaser, the vacillator, the controller, and the victim. And if you could just briefly tell us about each one, and then also, how does the love style affect sexual intimacy with our spouse?
Well, let me ask Kay, why don't you start with the avoider, and then we'll alternate.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll do the avoider because I am the avoider, the recovering avoider. And, you know, avoiders come from task-based homes where it's more about what you do than who you are. And so the avoider grows up without memories of comfort. They learn to repress feelings. They learn to avoid a conflict or anything that's messy emotionally because they're never taught how to identify or deal with emotions growing up. So I entered into marriage independent, a unilateral decision maker. And if anything got difficult enough or that I would cry, I made sure I was alone because that's what I did as a kid. I got in trouble for crying. So when emotions did surface, which was rare, I would make sure I was alone. And so you can see the difficulty that's going to present sexually because I've repressed my feelings. I've gotten rid of emotions, and sex is all about emotions. It's all about expression and vulnerability, and I learned not to be vulnerable in my home. There was not a lot of touch in my home, and so just because I got married and said I do, and now God says, okay, now you get to have sex.
Right.
And it was such, for a woman, I think, as an avoider, it's a big leap that you're just not prepared for in childhood. And I think for a man, it can be a little different. I think for an avoider man, sex can become the one way they do connect. They don't know how to connect emotionally, but oftentimes they find sex in adolescence to be, we see a high rate of sexual addiction in avoider men because it's such a powerfully good feeling in contrast to a home where there's not a lot of good feelings. And so there can be a tendency to make sex the one good feeling and the one way they connect with their wives. And if there has been a history of pornography, then, of course, sex can be very objectified by the avoider, where they're not really relating to a person in pornography. They're relating to something that's an image. And they don't have to deal with the intimacy factor of a real person.
So, Kay, you're the avoider. Mylan, which love style are you?
Well, I'm a recovering pleaser. I'd like to say that after 25 years of work, these are very minimal now in each of our lives. We've earned a position of security as a person, and in each other's lives, we've helped ourselves get to that place. So I want to paint a picture here that recovery from these broken places is very much a part of God's plan for our lives. Pleasers are very fear-based, and they want to keep people close, and they fear disconnection. And so they try to please and make people happy. They minimize bad news. They put spins on things to make things sound good and happy. They want everybody to be in a good mood, and they never bring up bad news, and they're sort of good news junkies. What that means practically is they never get angry at people. They rarely say no, and they don't have a strong muscle to resist people who invade or encroach upon their lives in any way, and that can include sexuality. So a pleaser female, for instance, may have a very hard time saying no if there's a threat of I'll get mad at you and not pay attention to you. And so they can be often coerced, if they're a female, into doing things they don't want to do, participating in sexual activities that are not congruous with their emotions or their values, because they don't have a strong ability to resist and say no to anybody. They're too afraid. And as a male, they're like the avoider. They find that this is a pleasurable place, and so any male can really develop an addiction to pornography and to sexual addiction, and it becomes a place of comfort. It becomes a go-to place when I'm stressed, and we see that very commonly in our counseling offices.
What about the vacillator? As I was reading your book, I thought, man, you guys must have followed me around for 20 years. I am King Vacillator. How does that affect the intimacy with our spouse?
No, you're King Recovering Vacillator.
yes, indeed. Thank you, Mylan.
Okay. Well, the vacillator usually has some experience of connection with someone in their childhood, whether it's a parent or someone else, but it's very inconsistent. And so they are left waiting and wanting and hoping for more, but that desire for connection is pretty much on the parent's terms versus the child's need. So this kid is a little spunkier, and they get angry in the waiting process. And when the parent's finally available, they're mad because they've had to wait So they want connection, but they're too mad to take it. And there's a war inside of them.
Right.
So they idealize connection in the future. And when they're dating, they don't realize how idealized their view is of the person they're dating and the way life is going to be. And if you can really match that perfection in their head, then they never have to feel any painful feelings that they did growing up. But, of course, life isn't perfect. And when the vacillator marries and has a few kids, they have to wait. Waiting is a big trigger. Not being seen is a big trigger for the vacillator. And so when someone touches that childhood wound, they get mad. And, you know, that anger is really a protest, because life isn't ideal. But when they get mad, they go from ideal to devaluing. And so they're kind of in this world of it's all good or it's all bad. And people around them tend to feel like, gosh, I'm walking on eggshells and I don't know when I'm going to make the vacillator angry.
Absolutely. I mean, it was either all or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, Kate. I had no idea for most of my life why I was so mad all of the time.
Exactly. And it's so, we've had so many vacillators email us and say, I have never read such a clear description of myself.
Oh my gosh. I was laughing out loud reading your book. Going,
but yet there's so many vacillators out there. And, you know, what the vacillator tends to do, they're probably the most prone for an affair, because once they've devalued the spouse and that idealistic picture is marred and they're very disappointed and they use very strong words like, you've betrayed me, you've duped me, I thought I married this person and I really married that person. And, you know, there's fertile ground for an affair there, because any flirting outside the marriage then is like an idealized view again.
Right.
Because it's easy when you're not married, you don't have any problems to solve. It's easy to feel a lot of connection, because there's no reality really there. And so the vacillator can, even within a marriage, use sex as a tool to reconnect versus, you know, a desire for emotional intimacy. It's more like, okay, I don't want to be mad anymore, so I'm just going to have sex. And the all or nothing thing really applies to the sexual relationship as far as the vacillator. It's like sex is great or sex is terrible.
Right.
And I'm
especially if you're a female.
And for the males, too, I'm too mad at you right now to have sex. Or, you know, sex is the only way I know how to really make up. And, you know, so there can be make-up sex where you don't ever really resolve a problem. You just have sex and pretend like it's resolved.
Right, right. Mylan, what about the controller?
Well, controllers and victims come from homes that are very chaotic and disorganized and dangerous. There's a lot of fright, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of unresolved trauma. Often these are people who have learned to tolerate the intolerable. And they are making what happens to the child is they're very rattled by that experience. So the controller walks into adulthood, and what happens is they end up deciding, I'm not going to let that experience of unsettling me ever happen again, so I'm going to rule and dominate my world. They end up dominating everything, and they have one word, just do what I say. Mm-hmm. Just do it the way I say it's supposed to happen. This can even infiltrate Christian homes where, you know, they think they're being biblical to say, well, just follow my rule on everything. I'm the ruler of this home, male or female. Secondly, how that pans out sexually is that they use sex as a way to calm their feelings as well. It becomes a mood-altering, medicating event. And then sex is just whenever they want it, wherever they want it, however they want it. And they basically command sex, and it's sex on demand.
And that's just like porn. That's just our fantasy world of everything that we tend to believe about ourselves because we're controlling the world around us and our emotions and the way that I should be treated. And then when my fantasy world doesn't match up with the reality of my world, then I've got big problems, don't I?
Well, and I'm furious.
Right.
And I use intimidation and anger to dominate people into submission. And so, yes, they're very easily dysregulated. They don't have adequate coping skills. They're very impulsive. They're highly reactive. and they also are they don't know how to delay gratification, which leads to the inability to say no to really anything, whether it's drugs or sex or anything. It's just if they see it, they want it, they take it. So there's no ability to choose as an adult. It's like a little child, a toddler who just sees candy and they reach out and grab it and put it in their mouth. There's no restraint.
I'm speaking with Mylan and Kay Yurkovich, authors of the book How We Love. You can check it out at howwelove.com. And we're talking about this audio download on their website. It's called How We Love Sexually. And in the download, guys, you talk about this idea of what Hollywood has done and this idea of a she-male. Could you speak more on that?
Yes. You know, we're very, very impacted by our culture. And, you know, Hollywood definitely has a culture that they present to the world about sex. And if you think about the female in a sexual role in the movies, on TV, she's usually the aggressor. She's usually the one that's pursuing the male. And she has a lot of male-type characteristics when you really look at the average marriage. And, you know, it sets up an expectation for the man and the woman as to what a woman is supposed to be like that is very, I think, opposite to what God intended. God made women to be responders. And in the movies, she's not a responder. She's a pursuer and an aggressor. And so we see a lot of hurt in marriages because, of course, the men think every woman should be like that, and the woman tries to meet that standard, but it's very agonizing for her, and, you know, losing a part of herself to do that. And so it sets up a real lack of a lot of disappointment and a lack of satisfaction in a marriage.
Because it's fantasy. Is it fantasy on both sides, with the men thinking that she should be the pursuer and the woman thinking I must look like that to satisfy him?
Well, it's interesting. You're precisely right. And I've heard guys come into my office and say, well, you know, she's not as sexually responsive as she should be. Normal people do it this way. And then they'll point to Sex in the City on, you know, TV or
that's
something
normal.
Very seductive like that and say, well, that's what normal people do. Mm. And they actually are under the illusion that Hollywood is normalcy.
Right.
Hollywood is a fantasy, and it perpetuates the objectification of women in many, many cases. She's an object. She never has a menstrual cycle. She's never worried about her kids. There's never a child in the other room that's throwing up with a fever. And, you know, she's perpetually interested in sex, just like a male. Females are wired differently. They don't have testosterone, one hormone that's on 24/7. They have a rotating series of hormones that, you know, 6, 7, 8, that rotate. And every day in a 28-day cycle, a female feels differently about the sexual experience. And if men don't get that, you know, that's my wife and she has varying feelings, she's a person, and this person has different thoughts, feelings, opinions, and desires about sex. If I compare it to Hollywood, there's always going to be a chronic disappointment, complaints, and then looking outside the marriage for the perfect soulmate or the person that's going to provide that for me.
It's really affected our theology.
How so?
In the sense that this is, Sex in the City is normal. And,
right.
And when we read God's word, well, wait a second, Dustin, you're making such a big deal out of this. Man, you're so old-fashioned. And because we're inundated with what we watch and the social networks, I mean, are you guys seeing that mentality in your practice a lot?
Which mentality?
The mentality of this is normalized. This she-male mentality is normalized within the church and within the people that you're seeing, or even as you co-host New Life Live with Steve Arterburn.
Well, I don't think the church even discusses this stuff, you know?
True.
Certainly not from the pulpit. And certainly there is no real discussion in many, many cases, unless you're in Celebrate Recovery. And by the way, I think everybody in the church ought to be in Celebrate Recovery.
Amen.
We're all recovering from something. And in many cases, it's a sexual reorientation. The world set a picture for us, you know, of what sex ought to be. It's very liberal. It's very fast. It's something that happens right away. People are having sex immediately within relationship. There's no waiting. There's no sacredness of marriage. It's the only place that God endorses sex between a husband and a wife. That is a biblical model. And the rest of the world says, to heck with that model. I'm going to have sex anytime I want to with whom I want to. And I will create the world that I want to have.
Right. Exactly. Well, Mylan and Kay Yurkovich, thank you so much for being on the program. HowWeLove.com is the website. You want to pick up the book? It's a book itself. There's a workbook in there. We've been also chatting about How We Love Sexually, which is an audio download. It will revolutionize the way that you look at your wife. If you're looking at getting married, what a great way to start off your relationship. HowWeLove.com. You can also listen to Mylan with Steve Arterburn, radio program called New Life Live. Definitely check that out as well. Well, thank you for listening. My name is Dustin Daniels. This is a prayer and listener-supported broadcast. You can go to sevenplaces.org, S-E-V-E-N, sevenplaces.org. Email us your questions. You can join the online community there. Follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. And like us on Facebook. God bless you. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We're a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation for our resources that were mentioned on today's program, visit sevenplaces.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional.